Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Hey, before we go any further, I'd like to just take a quick time out and say a very happy birthday to Mary Bird. Mary, are you up there? I can barely see you up there. Mary makes, for the most part, makes all of this stuff kind of appear on the screen. Is there something on the screen? That's perfect. That was good timing. Look at that. She did that. Isn't that cool? Anyway, thank you, Mary. Happy birthday. All right. Hey, we started last week talking about the Holy Spirit. We kind of launched into a series where we're exploring this person. We're exploring the person of the Holy Spirit. And last week we looked and saw as he is the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of grace. In fact, all three share the same thing. They're all full of grace and truth. We started last week by talking about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't know about you, but so oftentimes we get so used to these phrases and these words and these we read the same things and you can kind of skip over things without even really thinking or engaging in what it is you just read. And in this verse that says, in the beginning, God created, we learn so much in just the first few words. In the first three words, in fact, in the beginning, we find out there's a thing called a beginning. I don't know about you, but ever since I was a little boy, I've always wrestled with this. Like, my kids ask the question this way. They say, Daddy, who made God? You know, who made him? Like we don't understand it because all of us had a beginning, right? So we understand that in the beginning, there is a thing called the beginning except for God. He didn't have a beginning. That messes with us. But in the beginning, God, and then we hit this word God, and it's this word Elohim, it's plural word, it means God, and it's plural, right? We don't understand this, and it's very hard for our minds to understand, in fact. But in the beginning, God, and then we learn what is the very first thing that God loves to do. He loves to create. And so next week, we're actually going to talk about that. So if you look at your notes this morning, you'll notice it was called Creator. I've renamed this morning, and I'm in fact going to change up this message a little bit. We'll get to most of that stuff next week, but this week I felt like we needed to take a little bit of time to try to understand a concept that I'm calling 3-in-1 plus 1. So if you want to scratch through your title this morning, it's not Creator. It's going to be 3-in-1 plus 1, and we're going to talk about this. John, in this incredible moment that he must have experienced, I can only relate it as I did last week to like a lightsaber being turned on. If you've ever seen Star Wars and the lightsaber goes on, the sound, it's just cool. The sound by itself is just cool. You know, that sound is just awesome. You know, and then you just have the light itself and all of this. And this moment, John saw what could only be described as like a lightsaber kicking on, but it was a person, right? Jesus transfigured in front of him. And suddenly, John saw something he had never seen before. Now, I want you to imagine what this must have been like, okay? Because for everything that you thought was real, for everything that you thought life was like, you thought you had it all figured out, all of a sudden, dude went in front of you, okay? Like, everything just went out the window for what you thought life was like. And the way I envision this, as I envision John looked into reality, and it was as if he saw the cartoonist, and he realized in that moment he was a cartoon, okay? Like, it was that drastic of a moment for him. I mean, imagine that. Imagine, it's the Matrix, right? But imagine in a cartoon form. Imagine finding out, like, oh, there's the cartoonist. Like, I now understand who I am. I'm a drawing of his. In the same way, this is what John experienced. And John said, in this reality where suddenly I realized how things actually are, what I saw was that God is full of grace. Not mercy, not compassionate pity. No, not this unwarranted just forgiveness. No, that's mercy. But grace, this lavish gift-giving in Jesus that we see in Christ. God gave us his absolute best, and he said that actually in Christ you would have everything you could possibly need. So that is grace. That is what you and I have been given, and that is what John saw as he peered into this moment. At the cross, we have this thing we talked about last week. You know, we see all three working together to produce this thing called salvation to us, this freedom. In this moment, Jesus is on the cross and he says something. He says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And so often we assume or think that Jesus was trying to convince the Father, "Please, please, Father, forgive them. Like, I know you don't like them a whole lot, but Father, forgive them." We kind of picture that kind of moment. Do we understand that Jesus is only saying what the Father's will was? He's only saying what the Father already willed in bringing Jesus to earth, and that was to forgive them. And then I love that last week we even looked at Zechariah, even revealed, it was prophesied about, that even in this moment following the crucifixion, that as the Jewish people, as all that were gathered around would be staring at Jesus and their eyes would go wide open and they would realize as the sky went dark and all of these things happened, they suddenly realized we really did just kill the Messiah. Like, this really just happened. I love that even in this moment, the Spirit gave us a spirit of grace in that moment to see it and to realize that he was no victim. He laid down his life because he loved all of us and he wanted to give us life. So this is God's grace, and he is the Spirit of grace. He's the most intimate part of God. He's the one closest to you, and the person closest to you is demonstrating to you over and over again how much God loves you. It's incredible what God has done. Now, I want you to think about this. What do you think about when you think about the word creator? When I say the word creator, what's the imagery that comes into your mind? Because for many of us, I don't know, we probably picture something we've seen. Maybe you picture the picture of God, you know, with his like flowing Odin-like hair, and he's reaching down, you know, to touch man's finger. Like, maybe that's what you picture when you think of creator. Maybe you think of Jesus. Maybe you think of the Spirit. But the thing is that they're three in one, that God is one. It's not polytheism. He's not multi-gods. He's three personalities, if you will, in one, three distinctions in one. And look, this is so easy to understand, isn't it? No, it's not easy to understand. It's hard for our minds to wrap our heads around it. But we see that the Father, Son, and the Spirit are all three equals. They're equals in everything. Now, they're not just equal or unified, for example, in their mission. They didn't just come together and agree on a mission and now we're in agreement. No, they're made up of the same substance. They're of the same nature, okay? They're all part of this thing called the divine nature, something that they make up and they create. Now, this is never going to be something that's easy for us to understand. And if I could be honest, every single analogy I looked for and tried to find to try to describe this in some way falls short. Every analogy we come up with will fall short. But for this morning, I want to break this into three parts that you and I might be able to understand a little easier. And that is the body, soul, spirit paradigm for us, okay? And in some ways you could say, excuse me, in some ways you could say that we exist in sort of a triune or tri-unified sort of state, okay? We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, these things were not ever intended to be split apart, okay? So for example, if you're ever staring at your body, I got a good news, bad news situation for you, okay? If this ever happens and your body's there and you're standing here, something's changed, okay? And it's broken. So we're never intended to be out of that triuneness, if you will. And so God is three in one as well. Now, each one of him is omni. He is an omni-God. That means everything he does is all-encompassing. So he's all-powerful. There's no one more powerful than God, and he exists this way in all three. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. There is nowhere you can go where God isn't. And if we really think about this, it really would change the way we look at God in some ways. We put him in a box all the time. We think that there's certain places he can't go, right? There's buildings we're inviting him into because for some reason he wasn't there, you know? We sing songs that say, "Please come, come, come. He's here. He can't not be here. Like, he's God. He's everywhere, right? He's omniscient. He knows everything. Oh man, that thing that you have hidden so well from everyone else, he knows it and he still loves you. He knows everything. You'll never catch God off guard. He's omni-love, really, if you want to get technical. He's omni-grace. And as partakers of his divine nature, we can see these things, and we see that they are things in us. This is incredible that we can know God, that he knows everything, but we can tap into that to know something, to know him, to relate to him. So in Genesis chapter 1, we see Elohim, plural, create, and the Spirit is there. So let's break these three down. I want to look at the Father, the Son, and the Spirit and kind of bring some distinction to them because there is some confusion nowadays. So let's look at it. We have the Father. I want to start with him, first. Excuse me. The Father, I'd like us to kind of envision this morning, if you will. Now look, again, these analogies are never going to be perfect, but I want you to envision him as the soul, okay? So as we talk about a body, soul, and spirit, I want you to picture God as the soul of God, okay? He's the mind, will, emotions. He's the heart of God, okay? What we see from him is that God is love, and what's demonstrated constantly coming from the Father is love, is grace, is all of these kinds of things towards us. Now, truthfully, we can only really know the Father through the Son. It's really the only way to kind of know him. All of the things that we read about him before Jesus, you'll see why in a moment, have to be understood through Jesus himself. Hebrews 1:1-4 says this, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He's the radiance of his glory. He's the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he inherited a much more excellent name than they. So Jesus comes to reveal the Father in an exact representation of him. People would say, Jesus, we think you're great, but we really want to meet God. Like, show us God. They don't understand this. How can God be the Son and the Spirit? How can this be? And so show us God. And he says, look, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I'm the exact representation of him. We're not different. We share this divine nature. You're seeing what God wanted you to see about him, in fact. Jesus tells this story. He says, look, I'm going to tell this prodigal son story. And without getting into that story, you'll hear it like some 200 million times in church because it's this powerful story that captures the heart of the Father. If you really want to know what God is like, picture this father in this story who's awaiting his son. He's not interested in finding out what his son's been up to. He's not interested in finding out what horrible things he's done or mistakes he's made. No, he's only interested in his son coming home. That's all that you see in this. And so when you hear those kinds of thoughts about the Father, match that with what Jesus said in John 3:16. He says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then he continues by saying, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus is saying, listen, the very fact that I'm here is to demonstrate to you how God feels about you. That God sent his very best. God didn't just send an angel to handle this. He didn't send somebody else, a prophet or anybody else. He sent me. He sent himself. He sent his one and only Son. And he didn't come here to condemn you, by the way. God is not interested at all in condemning people, right? Sometimes believers condemn, but that's not how God is. God never condemns. He never, ever feels that way towards you. He's only interested as that prodigal father to bring you home. His only interest is to win you over, to bring you home, and to convince you that what he has for you is his absolute best for your life. John 5:36-38, but the testimony which I have, Jesus is saying, is greater than the testimony of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Listen, you know who he's talking to? He's talking to people who knew the word better than any of us in this room. It wasn't that they hadn't searched the scriptures or studied or had conversations for decades about God. Imagine being that kind of studied, you know, believer, if you will, and Jesus walks in the room and says, you have never, ever heard of God before. And that's a pretty big statement. And that's a big old statement when you're somebody who's supposed to be showing everybody else God, right, or telling them about him and his ways. And Jesus says there's one major reason why I can tell you that you have never seen the Father, and that is because his word is not in you. And he wasn't talking about the written stuff, because they had a lot of that in them. He was saying, no, you don't have me in you. You don't have God living inside of you. This is a problem for humans. And the Father came to solve this problem. You have no way to comprehend him, and so he wants you to comprehend him, see him, and be loved by him. And so he gives us the Spirit. So he continues by saying, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him who he sent. It is the only way you will ever know God the Father. It's through Jesus. It's through him. So God the Father is the author of creation. He's the author of things we like to call freedom and justice, which, by the way, means to restore. He is this kind of God, and this is what he shows us all the time. He shows us his heart. So the Father creates, and he says, let there be light. And the world is full of light that reveals his grace. We can see the light of the world. And let's talk about him for just a moment, the Son. We have the Son of God. I like to think of him as the catalyst of creation. The Bible says that everything was made through him, and it was made for him. He's the reason why things are made, and he is the one whom they are made for. He's everything, and everything's made through him is what I meant. He's the Son of God. He is the image of the invisible God. We got to see him. We got to see God. We got to walk with him. We got to talk with him. He reveals the blueprint of the design for you and me. Jesus showed us where it was all headed. You want to know what your new life looks like? It looks like resurrected life, and Jesus created that for you and for me. Colossians 1, 15 through 20, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on the earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body. He's the church. Of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. All right, if the Father was the soul, if he's the one where we see the heart come from, if you will, then I'm going to make Jesus the body. He's the head of the body. So he personifies love to us in physical form. We got to see him. We got to watch him. We got to see the kinds of things he did. Jesus said in John 8, I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me as well. In other words, his very works demonstrated God's heart towards us. His very works qualified him to be the person he said he was. He was the only one that could bring people back from the dead. Okay, you understand there were certain things that the Messiah could do. His very works demonstrated who he was and what he was here for. He was revealed to us as the groom, and we become the bride of Christ. Again, these are words that we hear often, but really ponder, really think about this, really let this be something inside of us today, that we are the bride of Christ. Is that how you see yourself? Is that how you wake up in the morning thinking? Jesus went to create as well, and he went to go create a place for you and for me. Where the Father created light, the Son, as the body, creates a place to dwell with us, to abide together, and we see this in the Spirit. Let's get to the Spirit. He's the most intimate part of God. He knows the heart of God. The Bible says that it's only within a man, the spirit of a man, who kind of knows the innermost thoughts, the real you, if you will, right? So he says that God the Spirit, knows the innermost details of God, knows his heart. And it's of no surprise that God gives us the Spirit to tell us what his heart is, to demonstrate to every person, because it's the closest part of himself that he gives to you. It's the deepest part of himself that he gives to you. See, we lost our ability to understand God. We lost our little s spirit was dead. We had no ability to understand his ways. And so he gives us the deepest part of himself to say, here, with this, you will understand. With him, you will know me. Psalm 104, 30 through 31 says this, you send forth the Spirit, your Spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let the Lord be glad in his works. So if the Father is the soul and the Son is the body, I'm going to make the Spirit the Spirit. That seems to make a whole lot of sense. So in this triune sort of picture. Now look, we lost this ability to understand God. We lost the ability to know his ways. In fact, it became invisible. Couldn't even see him anymore. Right? This moment, this transaction that happened, it changed us. Without Christ, all you and I have are perceptions. We have perceptions of God. Here's the thing is that when you read through the Old Testament, when you read through this inspired word of God, we have to understand that it was still being written through men who were perceiving these things. Jesus said it himself, you can't really know the Father until you've seen me. Now that you've seen me, you can now make sense of everything else that you thought you saw, is what he was saying. The Spirit does this work in us. So in saying that our dead spirit causes death to reign in us, we see that God sends forth his Spirit so that we can be created in new life. And this happened because God, all three working together, gives us the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said this. He said, look, the Spirit, when he comes, he's going to take from what is mine, and he's going to give it to you. And he goes, you want to know what's mine? Well, God the Father has given everything to me, everything. And so he goes, look, we call this, by the way, life to the fullest. You know, it's just what he's full of is this thing called life. And so he takes from the Father everything that the Father has given him, which is eternal life, newness of life, forever life, life to the fullest. And the Spirit comes to you and presents it to you and takes from what is his and gives to you and gives freely. He gives you free life every moment of every single day. And I don't know if we even feel it. We don't even know it's happening. It's incredible. Check this out in Romans chapter 8. Now look, in this verse, you're going to see all three persons together, working together for you. Check this out. Romans 8, 10 through 11. If Christ is in you, so the word of life, through the body is dead because of sin, the spirit, little s, this is us, is alive because of righteousness. All right, so he explains this right off the bat before he kind of discusses how this happens. He says, listen, if you want to know if you have life, you have to have Jesus living within you. You have to have the word of life living within you. Now, how does this happen? Because Jesus himself, we watched him. He flew off. He took off, you know, pulled the Neo thing and jumped, you know. I don't know how it looked. But here he's saying he's in me. Well, let's keep going. But if the Spirit of him, here's the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus, the Spirit, from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. It's incredible what God has done. So he says, look, in the same exact way this happened to Jesus, the Spirit went forth from God and raised Jesus back from the dead, right? We knew this was going to happen. The Bible says that God was never going to leave his son to decay. And so in this moment, the Spirit resurrects him into the newness of life. And he says that in the exact same way, the moment that you and I believe, something crazy happened. The Spirit of God came to live within you and joined himself to your little s spirit and brought it into a whole new existence and a whole new life. This wasn't just like jumpstarting the car, okay? Like that would have been cool by itself. No, this was a resurrection into an entirely new person, an entirely new existence, entirely new life. So Jesus says it this way. He says, look, abide in me and I abide in you. He says, I don't know, it's like a branch with it's coming out of a vine, right? And fruit that just grows off of that branch comes from life in the vine. And that's your and I's life in the Spirit. Like, I don't know that we ever really process this or think about this a whole lot. But when you wake up in the morning, when you are asleep at night, every moment of every day for the believer, you have God living within you. Like, this should be shocking, and it should always be kind of a wow kind of thought that God wants. This is what he desired because he's full of grace. He wants nothing more than to help us. Look at what Jesus says. He says in John 15, 26, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Man, the Spirit of God who searches the depths of him presents this to you. All right, let me give you a picture of what this looks like. So let's say right here you have an unbeliever. You know what the Spirit comes and he gives the unbeliever? Probably a lecture about their sin, right? No. No, he comes to them and he offers them grace and truth. Why? Because that's what he's full of. You come over here, here's the believer. You know what he offers the believer? Grace and truth. He gives them the exact same thing. Now, the unbeliever's experience, though, is very different. He sees grace and truth, and suddenly he starts seeing a whole lot about himself. He begins to notice that maybe there's a need for God. But a decision is made in this moment whether or not to go with grace or truth, or to go with our own version of that, our own perception. His dynamic is different, but the believer, oh, you see grace and truth, and you see what you're full of as well. You see what the Spirit has brought into you is this lavish gift-giving God came to live inside of you so that you could receive the best gift there ever was in Jesus. And this is our Spirit. This is the Spirit. This is God the Spirit who comes to live in us. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Oh man, if it wasn't good enough, or if it wasn't just good enough that this is what God wants to offer, a question may come and say, well, who deserves this? Who can receive this? Is it based off of your income? Is it based off of your social status? Is it based off the color of your skin or where you were born? No. It's because we're all born of the same Spirit that we all become one. All of us are equal to him because he redeems us by the same. It's incredible. After the Spirit, we look at each other as children of God or ones that are about to be children of God. Look, maybe your family wasn't all that great. Maybe the idea of the Father is hard to understand, that God would send his Spirit, and all these things are kind of hard to understand because you have a hard time trusting family. Let me tell you something. In the Spirit, God is full of grace and truth, and this is the greatest family you can ever be a part of. Galatians 4:6, he says it this way. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Picture this. The same way that Jesus sat there in the garden and said, Dad. The same way that he was able to utter the words, Father. Do you understand the only reason, the only way anyone can ever call God Father, that the only way you can ever cry out to God is only because the Spirit of God came within you first and gave you that ability to do so. None of us say this without his help. Our spirit agrees with the Spirit and we cry out to our dad. Jesus said that I would be in the Father and the Father is in me, and I'm going to be in you. Look, we understand it this way. When doing weddings, you know, you often talk about how the two become one. You know, the two become one flesh is what Scripture tells us. That you're no longer living out independent lives. If you want your marriage to work, you're no longer living out independent lives, but you're creating something brand new together. This is what marriage is. It's this union. It's no longer just your life anymore. All right, do you understand that was given to us so that we would understand something about God? Like, yeah, it benefits marriage. It benefits us here because it's a template of something that he created. See, in this moment with the Spirit, what happened to you and me was the two became one. We were merged into an existence with God where it's no longer just about God, his own life, and my own life. No, he brought me into his life. This is an incredible thing that has happened to all of us. You become one with God. Do you get why you can't lose your salvation? It's ridiculous. He sent his Spirit to live in you, to bring your spirit back to life, to hold on to you forever. He says that I will never leave you or forsake you, that I am the one who sticks closer than a brother. Now, you know somebody who sticks closer than a brother is when two become one. So in the same way that God is three in one, we have become his plus one. Do you know what a plus one is? Do you know what that is? You ever been someone's plus one? You ever been somewhere fancy enough where you can put someone's name on a list? I had this experience just recently that was really cool, okay? I got to go see a band that I grew up listening to that I really loved, right? And my buddy, he's a lighting director, so he runs all the cool lights and stuff for bands, and goes on tour with them. And this band's name is Weezer. You may have heard of them. And whether you hate them or love them, I was excited to get to see them. And listen, I'm on this. I'm backstage, okay? Like I'm backstage, and like the guitarist walks past me, and I was trying to be so cool, you know? I'm like, what's up, you know? What's going on? I'm not gonna be the weird guy. I'm just gonna be cool, you know? That's what I'm thinking, you know? And so, all I know is I'm sitting there on the stage at the end of the night and I'm singing at the top of my lungs these songs that I grew up with. And I mean, I'm like right here to that those seats from the lead singer and the band and everything. And I kind of look out, you know, and I look out and I'm seeing thousands of people that paid good money for seats, okay? And I'm thinking this guy right at the front, he probably paid a couple $100 or something, or $100 or something for this seat. And that guy all the way up the cheap seats, I mean, he probably paid $10 or whatever. But either way, these people all kind of paid for an experience. And I didn't pay for it. I'm just standing here going, woo, this is really cool. I'm the one walking past security just pointing to my badge like, you guys know I'm in, right? Like, I'm a part. I'm invited. I'm on the list. I'm getting to hold guitars by famous people, and just the whole experience was just overwhelming. It was just so cool. My friend thought I was so stupid, you know? He's like, I didn't know you were going to act like this. And I'm like, I'm sorry. This is so cool. All right, well, this is the thing, is that that's because I was his plus one. See, what God has done is he made you the three in one, made you his plus one. Oh, but it's better than that. Because see, if he just invited you, that's one thing, but he didn't just invite you. No, his spirit went within you and created something brand new that adopted you into the family, which means that even if my buddy doesn't get more invites to go to the concert, you could always go to the concert because you are a part of the family now. I guarantee you, if the lead singer's family showed up, they wouldn't say, sorry, you can't come back here. And that's our life. God is our dad. We're not just a special guest. We are a special someone. Adopted by him. He made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, forever on the list, the Lamb's Book of Life. You can throw that thing wide open and see my name. And yours is too, if you believe. So God made you his one. To quote Pastor Clark, God is omni, and God uses all of his omni to demonstrate this love to you. He uses all of his power, all of his knowledge, everything that he has. He demonstrates all of his omni, all of his godliness. He uses to convince you to join the family. So what's holding you back? What's stopping you? Father, we come to you this morning. The Spirit of grace. The God of grace, you made us alive so that we could finally know you for who you really are, that we could finally experience you, that we could finally receive all that you want to give us. Lord, I pray as we worship right now that we would get a sense of that, even just a glimpse of your grace towards us. Thank you.